Luke 7. We studied the prophet, the great prophet. Today we're studying visiting. Verse 16, that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people.
Wait.
What?
Second Luke 7:16.
Let's look at.
All right, you're looking. I thought you'd start at the beginning.
Look at verse chapter 1 a minute, just seeing where he visited again. This is Zechariah's prophecy about Christ. About John the Baptist, excuse me. And his father Zechariah was filled, verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So again, God is visiting. Let's go to Exodus 3. This is when God is commissioning Moses. Verse 15, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And let's go to another. Let's go to Isaiah 33. Start in verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us, we have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, and our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall be run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly, the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. So the Lord, this thing about visiting, it can be for good, for redemption, and it can be for destruction. So let's look at another one. Let's go to Psalm 65. Let's just start in verse 9. Thou visiteth the earth and waterest it, and thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof and abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it with soft with showers. Thou blessed the springeth thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, they sing, they also sing. Again, the visiting, the thing about visiting is if God didn't visit, there would be nothing. But we kind of got to watch out for when it says he visited for the wrong reason. So let's look at another one, Amos 3.
Does visit just mean visit? No hidden meaning there.
the word is in Greek, the Greek word is episkeptomai. Which means to look upon with either favor or disfavor. I don't know what the Hebrew word is. Amos 3. Verse 13, hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Okay, one more. Go to Isaiah 60. The same thing here is the idea of Well, let's just read it and I'll explain it. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, or visit thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. All right, that's enough for visiting. And back to 7, he has visited his people. This people here, normally people is anthros or anthropos or one of those things here. It's the word laos. And it means the people of the same stock, of the same genetic. And so by definition, when he has visited his people, who is he talking about? The only his people are the ones that were born in the same place he or from the same place of his birth. His true birth, because of the our true place of conception, was the New Jerusalem. And that's our place, our city of birth, is the New Jerusalem. And his people are only the people that are whose birthplace is this the New Jerusalem. That's why this thing about being born again is so critical. He'll visit the earth for destruction. He'll visit his people for redemption. Amen? All right, then back to 17. Luke 7, verse 17. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. Rumor is logos. And logos, the real meaning of logos, it doesn't just mean the seed of Christ. It also means it's anything that's reported by speech is logos. In all of Judea and round about. So the rumor of him went forth to all Judea and the region round about and the neighboring place. And now the disciples of John. Now this is interesting. This is when, well, let's read it. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he who should that should come, or we, look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, what's going on here? John the Baptist is in prison. He's being held at this place. What's that place? Where did they have the... Where did all of the Jews eventually commit suicide?
Masada, but I don't know. Is that where he was?
Yeah. He was held prisoner in Herod's sort of vacation palace. And it was on Masada. There was an incredible, beautiful temple that he had built. Not temple, but residence. And that's where John the Baptist was held prisoner. And that's where he had a party, and then where the famous dance of Salome, and she demanded the head of John the Baptist. So this is just before he was, his head was cut off. But you remember, John the Baptist testified that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God,
yeah,
that taketh away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
Now this is what, a few months later, and he's saying, are you he? So what happened? What was going on? Anybody have any idea? John the Baptist's experience at the baptism was an internal understanding that he was the Christ, the Lamb of God, or the Goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But he had to have the external understanding by evidence of the prophecies of the Scripture. And so that was this demand that he had for another witness or other witnesses. And when we get there, we'll see that each of these things that Jesus said that he had done or that his disciples saw were things that were prophesied that the Messiah would do. But this is what's so important. It doesn't make any difference, even to John the Baptist, seeing the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus. That was one witness. Now, John the Baptist demanded that there be another witness, and he sent two of his men who he trusted to see, are you the one? But this, what's critical about this is that's why Paul commended the people at Berea, because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. Now, it's the same thing that you have to have the same evidence. You can't, even if you have an internal understanding, like Nick always says, well, I know this now in the inward man, blah, blah, blah. All that doesn't matter. You've got to have the evidence of the Scripture. And you have to have it so that you know that you know that you know. Does everybody understand that? What, Gary, you're doing something?
I'm trying to get what you're saying here. I'm thinking what great integrity God has, that he accommodates all sort of mankind. Because some feel they really need this confirmation, and others don't. Some can't even, don't have the intellectual ability to pursue it. But it's there for those who do, and for those who don't, there's, I guess.
What's the one thing that's common to everybody, down to and including the blind, those that can't read, those that aren't too bright, those that are totally, what's the one thing that's common that each of them has the ability to do?
Repent. And each one has the same desire to live. It's
the same self-realization.
Same self-seeking.
So they've had to come to the end of that self-realization so that repentance is possible. They've had to have at least even, you know, there's the exceptions are people like Sydney, who will never have she doesn't even have really the capacity of self-consciousness.
You mean Shannon?
Shannon, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sydney.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Sydney.
Because she already became as the little child. All the repentance is necessary,
yeah.
And it's a repentance that's total. That has no.
Yeah. Which we're saying without, and as you said, we have to know. And to us, do you know, or someone else know?
Let's go. Let's look at some of these scriptures now. Let's go to Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. So that's the main scripture that defined the days of Messiah. Now he said already, remember, and said in Mark, let's go to Mark 1. This is the brief version of the temptation of Christ. I mean the baptism. Mark 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now at hand is just there's no question. At hand, it isn't strong enough for what's said. He said the kingdom of God is here. And that meant the kingdom, that the age of Messiah is here. We've had up till then, there was the age of Adam. Now the age of Messiah is here. And we've been in that age. This is the night of the last day now for 2,000 years. But the evidence of it was that he caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, etc., etc. Now, so John the Baptist, even though he had that witness of the Holy Spirit, seeing literally the Holy Spirit descending on Christ, he still had to see that these scriptures were fulfilled.
Yeah, and he was out of the loop because he got arrested before Jesus started his ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wasn't he sent to that island?
Who?
John the Baptist.
No, that's John the Apostle. Patmos. But he wasn't put in a tub of boiling oil. That's it.
So it was two Johns. John the Baptist and...
John the Disciple.
Even more.
There are many more Johns. If you would have been here, we went through every John in the New Testament. All right. I just want to... Let's go back to Luke. In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and many that were blind he gave sight. Now cured is therapeo, that means restoring to health. The plagues is mastix in Greek. It just means any calamity or misfortune. But evil is poneros. And proneros means full of labors. That's what's evil to God. That's what's evil in the, from the New Testament standpoint. You have not ceased from your own labors. You have not rested. You have not seen yourself as dead. So you continue your labors. Now, I find it fascinating that the word evil here, poneros, means full of labors.
Yeah, it's like that word for iniquity, the oven.
Self-seeking.
In the Greek. You're not referring to your physical labors, you're referring to your emotional labors that are going on.
Well, it's referring to you haven't been apprehended to see that you're the Antichrist, and all the Antichrist can do is full of labors. That's why his number is 666. He can never reach 7. 7 is rest. You don't rest on the Sabbath day as a day of the week. You rest because Jesus Christ is the Sabbath. So your works never lead you. If anyone whose works lead them is full of labors, and by definition, he is of the evil one. He is poneros. Let's look at one scripture and we'll quit. Revelation 14. There's a bunch of other scriptures in the Old Testament we could look at, but I don't feel like going to them all. Verse 12. Why is it Revelation 14? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's huge.
I'm sorry, what verse was that actually?
Revelation 14, 12 and 13.
12.
If you take away nothing else, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Well, how can you do that? By total and 100% abandonment, giving no thought to your life. And that's called repentance.
The next scripture talks about labor to enter into my rest.
You gotta come to the end of your.
If you're gonna labor, that's the labor. Your labor is to get to the end of your labor and see.
Let's go to one more, Philippians 3. Verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, the only way you can apprehend that for which you've been apprehended is by repentance. Never trying to understand. You can't use this thing, which is the enemy, all perfect enemy of God, to gain that which is, this is cursed. You can't gain that which is cursed. Use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. The only way you gain that which is blessed is 100% repentance. Amen? All right. I don't have anything else. Anybody else? Anybody have anything else?
Yeah, it's like all these. It's like wherever Jesus appeared, it was this same visitation, because, you know, on one hand it was like you have no cloak for your sin.
Amen.
And on the other hand, he's healing the, you know, the sick and the needy and the poor.
And it's redeeming.
Like, yeah, it's everything is, Pentecost is the same way, you know, it's destruction and coming out of the Holy Spirit.
It's always the same story. Seen from 10,000 different angles. What?
I was kind of hit by this thing that I may win Christ. That's an interesting sentence, that you win Christ. But I was thinking about what winning is all about. Is you, when you win, you're kind of glorified. You enter into glory. That's the parable I see on earth when somebody wins something. They are. But that's a saying of what it is to win Christ. You labor to enter into that point of being glorified in Him, where there is rest and your labors are fulfilled and ceased.
So, and glorified, you finally really see what it means to be glorified.
Yeah.
Because everything is.
Or very simple.
You know, everything is clarified.
Yeah. I was thinking about this thing with winning. It's like this country is so obsessed with winning. But I think, seeing correctly, it's just a parable for seeking home. Though it's unknown.
It almost sounds like if you went to Jesus, you lose you.
Yeah.
Except for the women's
opportunity. All right, take it, big guy.